One thing for sure, one day we will stand before a holy and a righteous God. And there will be those that thought it was all right and did everything they were told to do, lived the way they was told to live. But still, that's not enough. We must know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Or one day we may say, and someone may say, Lord, did we not? Matthew tells us there's a group that's going to stand before the Lord one day and said, Lord, did we not do this in thy name? And did we not do mighty works and cast out demons? And the Lord will say, I never knew you. You see, it's not according to what we do. It's what he did for us. Thank God for Calvary and what Jesus did for us. That song really goes along with the theme of the message this morning. And because there are those one day that will stand before God, not saved, maybe thinking everything was well, and they will have things wrong in their life, not trusting the Lord. And the Apostle Paul, in the book of Galatians, chapter number 3, Paul calls those people foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you. Galatians chapter 3, and we'll read verse 1 on down through a few verses, but he starts out that way. Have to know a little bit of the background of the church of Galatia. It was started and had been going for some time. But there are always folks that try to come into our places and thoughts that the devil tries to put within us that are foreign or in opposition to the Word of God. And it seems as though as Paul writes this epistle to the church of Galatia, he is writing to correct an error concerning salvation. As I have said so many times, we can be wrong on everything else in the Bible and go to heaven if we're right about Jesus. But you cannot be wrong on the Lord Jesus Christ and wrong on salvation and go to heaven. And these folks of Galatia had been bombarded by some false teachers and false doctrine. And Paul just writes them a question and writes them a letter. And within that letter are many questions, and we read some of them this morning. Verse number 1 of chapter 3, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: receive you the Spirit of by the works of the law, or by the learning or hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth unto you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, know ye therefore that ye which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. I want us to look this morning primarily as we've read these 7 verses, but I think it all comes back around to the very first statement that's found in verse number 1, who hath bewitched you? And we'll look at that word bewitched and see some things about that this morning. One of Satan's greatest tactics is that of confusion. He will confuse us on things that are right. He will confuse us about things that are wrong. And certainly the confusion is very prevalent today in which we live. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says, For God is not the author of confusion. I'm glad this morning that our God is the author of settlement and peace in our heart and life. But confusion comes from the wicked one. And Paul asks these people of Galatia that had formed into a local congregation of people, he said, you're foolish, and how is it that you have been bewitched? The word bewitched is from an old English word, and We get a lot of different words from that. We get the word Wicca from that. We know what that is. Wicca is Satan worship. We get the word witch from that, sorcerer, enchanted or charmed, possessed, captivated, a lot of different things, beguiled, spellbound, mesmerized. All of those words come from this root word of bewitched. It just means total confusion. And Paul says to these folks, how is it that you have been spellbound by another gospel? Later on, he asks them about that. He tells them that there is not another gospel. There's not another Jesus. There's not another of any of those things. We only have one, and it's the truth. And so, to these Galatian people that had a profession of being a Christian, and by the way, there is a difference between a profession and a possession. We possess the Lord Jesus Christ when we are saved, but we can make profession without possessing. We can say something that's not real. And Paul says to these folks, how is it that you are so soon bewitched? Or how is it that you're spellbound or mesmerized or even hypnotized, caught under a spell of those that deny the Lord Jesus Christ? Satan uses many devices in order to confuse both sinners and saints. And we certainly should not be overtaken by that. Paul tells us in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11, Paul says, lest Satan should get the advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, if we are ignorant of the way the devil works, if we are ignorant of the way that he deals with us, then we may be overtaken. We may be ignorant of those things, and he certainly will have an advantage over us if we don't know what he's doing. In the matter of playing a game, there's always a strategy. It doesn't matter if it's football, basketball, whatever it is, there's a strategy behind as that coach teaches those young men. And when a person that's on the other team figures out what's going on, then they can make adjustment, because up to that point, they've been taken advantage of by that coach that's got something over on them they don't understand. I remember for years from Brother Houghton, as he coached our basketball team, he had one little play, and it just make other coaches so mad they just could not figure it out. We played one time, and he watched it two or three times. He called a timeout. And you know what? That play never did work for Brother Houghton anymore with that particular team. You know what happened? He figured out the advantage. Now, the Scripture says here that if we're not careful, Satan will have an advantage over us. So therefore, we ought not to be ignorant of his devices. When an army goes to war, or at least used to be, I'm not so sure it's that way now, there was a plan, and they wanted to have advantage over the enemy. In the war between the states, there were different places that those opposing forces would try to gain, because they would have an advantage, and they would have the high ground, and they'd have a place where they could fight and shoot down on those that were coming up. And so there's always the strategy is given. And Paul tells these Galatians that you have been bewitched because you've been overtaken, because you're not aware of the devices of Satan, and he uses many of them. He has blinded the minds of those that believe not. That's one of his strategies. That's one of his devices, that he blinds literally the minds of folks that do not believe. The Scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So he blinds their eyes and blinds their minds. That's one of his devices. Satan has got this world to call evil good and good evil. Isaiah tells us and warns us of that happening. And I believe we're literally living in a time when good is called evil and evil is called good. And that's one of the devices of Satan. He has used the testimony of people that call themselves believers, but yet they're very carnal, and they don't live for God, but yet they're the ones that seem so many times to stand out in the forefront. And the devil will use that, the testimony of carnal believers. He will introduce satanic things, and he will introduce things that will tear down the Word of God, the watered down scriptures, and all those things that we deal with. That's one of the devices of Satan. He has flooded the airways with false prophets. You might as well, unless you're just very fortunate, you might as well not turn on some of these gospel stations and think you're going to hear the truth, because they're flooded with false doctrine everywhere. That's one of the devices that Satan has before us. We turn it on. They may look good, and they may have a charisma about them. They may smile from ear to ear, but they don't tell you truth. They may have a big crowd, but by the way, crowds don't always prove truth. And so we find that Satan has many devices. He has flooded the airways, TV, radio, wherever you look, you're not going to hear a whole lot of truth. He uses shallow preaching as a device. He uses preaching and preachers that are weak and not willing to stand for what's truth and right, because they're afraid of what might happen or what might be said. That's one of the devices that Satan uses on the people of God to keep us away from the blessings of the Lord. And that's one of the things that Paul says here: I'm surprised that you're so soon removed and you've been bewitched. You've been mesmerized. And sometimes I hear people talk about some of these folks that's out here doing great, supposedly great things, and it seems as almost they're mesmerized or hypnotized by what they're doing. I'll tell you, the best thing we need to do is get in the book, find out what God says, and do what He says. He uses people that will confuse the issue. He'll use the reproach through the sons of Belial. And that's just wicked, ungodly people. The New Testament calls one of them Diotrephes, who loved the preeminence and loved the things that people would say, but they receive not the truth of the Apostle Paul. He fills churches with tares. There are many instances in the Bible that talks about the wheat and the tares. The tares are what looks good. That's that one that has a profession. That's the one that says everything's all right, but underneath, down deep, they know it's not all right. And he sows in the church tares to slow down and to bring down the people of God, because even in the illustration or the parable that the Lord uses about the tares and the wheat, the tares suck the life from the truth and suck the life from the ground, and the wheat cannot grow as it should because of the tares. And that happens very, very much in many churches across this country. So he has a lot of devices. We ought not to be ignorant of them. We ought to be aware of them. You'll notice here that Paul, in these verses that I read, he asks a number of questions. He says, in verse 1, "Who hath bewitched you?" Paul really is surprised. He is shocked when he finds out what's going on in that church. I wonder how Paul would write to our churches today. I wouldn't want to receive a letter from him. You see, when Corinthians got that first letter, Paul scathed them because of sin that was in the church. Galatians now receives a letter from the Apostle Paul, and Paul, as an apostle of God, had the authority to write to these churches and to straighten them out and to help them. And I'm sure they shuddered when they got something from Paul, because many times it was because he knew of things that was wrong in there and he was trying to correct it, and he just simply asked them, "Who hath bewitched you? Who has come in here and given you false teaching and false doctrine? Why are you going the wrong direction instead of following the faith that was given to you?" In verse number 2, he says, "I just want to know this one thing." He says, "Only would I learn of you." Here's the question: "Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Paul said, "By the way, just tell me, how did you get saved? How come you're a Christian? Was it by the works of the law or was it by the hearing of faith?" He just asked him questions. How come you are what you are? Did you get saved by keeping the law? And of course they had to answer no. because the law condemned them. The law was a schoolmaster to teach them that they were wrong and they had no choice except to follow after God. But these folks had come into the church of Galatians and said, if you don't do this, then you're not a Christian. If you don't follow the law, if you don't do everything of the old Mosaic law, if you don't follow every detail primarily of the Pharisaical law that was given, then they were not children of God. And Paul said, who's bewitched you? Who's tricked you into believing that? He said, I just want to know one thing. How did you get saved? Was it by the works of the law or was it by the receiving of the faith of God? And if they were saved, they had to receive it by faith. He says in verse number 3, are you so foolish? It's foolish to revert back to the law, for we are saved from that. It's foolish for a believer today to revert back to where they were because we've been saved from that. So many times we do because we've been bewitched. We've been tricked. He tells us, ask us in verse number 3, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Is what you do in the flesh, is that what perfected you? All we got to do this morning is look around. We know our flesh is not perfect. Phew. All you got to do is wake up about 10 minutes every morning. You know you're not perfect. Because there'll be wicked things come in our minds and our hearts, things that'll proceed out of our mouth, things that'll come into our mind. We know that our flesh is not perfect. And Paul says, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Are you sanctified by that? No longer are you in sin. You're just perfect before God in every aspect of your life. Oh, foolish Galatians, what's happened? The Galatians believers had paid a high price for their confession. They had been persecuted for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul asked them in verse number 4, have you suffered so many things in vain? If you've suffered, has it been in vain? Because if it's by the works of the flesh, it's in vain. If you're redeemed because of the law, then all you suffered was in vain. You and I this morning, all the things that people said about you, maybe your family members that almost turn against you because of of your life as a Christian or not believing what they believe, all those things would be vain if it's just by the works of the flesh. But thank God, salvation this morning is by the grace of the Lord. And therefore, what people say about us and what people do to us makes it well worthwhile because we're saved. Paul says, have you suffered all these things in vain? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now he had advantage. Moses could have been and was and would have been the next ruler of the great nation of Egypt. But the Bible says that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ's greater riches. Thank God this morning what Christ gives us is far greater than anything the world could give us. And so therefore, Paul says to this people of Galatia, who hath bewitched you? He asked in verse number 5 another question. He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Does God work in the works of the law? Does God stay in that little box of the Mosaic law, the commandments? Does God do that or does he do it by faith? Paul's trying to get these Galatians to understand. And then verse number 7, he says, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are children of Abraham. Faith. Children of Abraham. I said this morning in the Sunday school that God gave Abraham a covenant. He said, I'll make your seed as the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea. The children of Abraham. You and I this morning, we are children of Abraham spiritually because of the faith that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it's by works, then you can throw it all away. If we've got to hold on, hold out, work it up, Whatever you want to do to it to, in order to gain it or keep it, you just don't have it. Who hath bewitched you? Now there's a way to guard against this, and this is the main thing. All this so far is just introduction, and I'm about finished. I heard my watch beep or somebody says, it's about time to be over. I got started late, and I remember that. Didn't get up here to 20, almost quarter till. How to guard against being bewitched. Oh, foolish Galatians, who's tricked you? I'm going to try to help you this morning not to be tricked, not to be bewitched, not to be mesmerized. But they can do it. There's some charlatans out there that can do it. Number one, first of all, stay right with God. Personal relationship with the Lord. Stay right with God. John 16:13 says, the Spirit of truth, when He has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself. What's He going to do? He's going to speak of Him. Speak of the Lord. So stay right with God. You've been bewitched, Galatian people. You're no longer obeying the truth. Well, that's a pretty good indictment against the church here. First of all, he calls them foolish. And the next thing he calls them bewitched or tricked or mesmerized or hypnotized or following wickedness. And then he says, you're not obeying the truth. That number one verse has a lot of things there. You're foolish. You've turned against God. You've gone after wrong things. And now you're not doing truth. You know, the most important thing in your life and my life this morning is to follow truth. It does not matter what quote-unquote Baptists tell us. We better follow truth. Truth. Because when we do not follow truth, we have been put under the trickery of the devil. So the first thing you've got to do is stay right with God. The Spirit of truth has come. He will guide you into all truth. Stay close to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will guide you to all truth. Not part truth, but all truth. John 14:26, when the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send my name, He will teach you all things and bring you all things into remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. If we stay right with God, God, get in the book. Stay right with God. I believe, and I'm supposed to believe this because I'm pastor, but I believe, secondly, we ought to stay faithful to our church. That keeps us right. That keeps us in the right way. The worship service, the services that God gives us, whatever they are. Thomas was out of place when he missed the Lord coming in. He said, I'm not going to believe it till I see Him. Well, if Thomas had been there, he'd have seen Him. Now the Lord has to do it a week later to him, just like He did the other 10 that were there. Be faithful. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, if I tarry long, that they may know how to oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, some of these high-classed, high-society programs that we see on television, they are not the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is. The church has been given the authority by the Lord to maintain, proclaim, protect truth. If somebody ever comes and stands behind this pulpit and denies certain things of the fundamentals of the faith, it's the church's responsibility to shut him up. Amen. If I go off the deep end and lose my mind and I say something stupid, just get rid of me. Hey, that does happen. Because you, the church of the living God, is the protector of the truth. Oh, we don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Well, 10 years down the road, you're the ones that are going to have the feelings hurt. Well, we don't want to stir no problem. Well, no, but 15, 20 years down the road, your kids are going to die and go to hell because nobody stirred it up. You see, the church is the protector. It's the pillar, the ground of the truth. And this is truth. Thy word is truth. Somebody comes in and preaches something foreign to the Word of God, don't have it. It's not always going to be like it is. I'll tell you what, my friend, we are in a vanishing minority. And some of this crowd you get out of Bible colleges, they don't know beans about serving the Lord. All they're interested in is sending a resume and how much they can get. And I don't think you ought to take resumes from a preacher anyway. It's not a job. We may not put this on the internet. I don't care. I mean, you say it is true. It's not a job. You don't apply for a job. It's a call of God. Oh, foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? I'll tell you who's done it. It's the devil. And there's a lot of churches this morning that's in chaos because they've been bewitched. They've been confused. Because somewhere down the line, they didn't stay right with God. Somewhere down the line, they didn't stay faithful to the Lord. Study and read and believe your Bible. It's not enough just to study it. Not enough just to read it. The last one's very important. Believe it. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Rightly, underline that, rightly dividing the word of what? Truth. So, stay right with God. Stay faithful to the Lord. Read, study, believe your Bible. Peter says we have a more sure word of prophecy. It's the best we got. It's the only thing we've got. It shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in our heart. 2 Peter 1:19. Fourthly, turn off some junk and listen to something scriptural and spiritual. Well, I can't find much. If you search the right places, you'll find it. Listen to some scriptural, spiritual teaching and preaching. And by the way, spiritual teaching and preaching doesn't mean how high they jump and how long they leap and how hard they holler. It's what they say. I'm not against jumping. I'm not against shouting. I'm not against any of that. But that doesn't mean it's spiritual. Doesn't mean it's scriptural. I'm talking about content. There's a lot of places out there to find some good stuff. Boy, I'm so glad. Keeps me fresh. I listened to a sermon the other day that was preached 30 years ago. Buddy, it just like firing me up. It's like putting a stick of dynamite and saying, go after it. Because the Word of God does not change and truth is not changeable. It's always right. If you don't have anywhere else to go and you can, go on our website. There's some good stuff on there. And it's not just my prayer. I'm talking about good stuff from other people. Saturate our thoughts, our lives, our hearts with what's real. And then lastly, don't be bewitched. Stay away. Just learn to stay away from those that are contrary to the Word of God. Don't sit down and discuss it over a table, a cup of coffee and a hot dog. Not unless you want to be the hot dog. Sometimes they do it. I mean, they invite themselves in. They'll do. I mean, you know who I'm talking about. They're so full of trickery and devices. If you can't stand your ground, just stay away from them. Because they will bewitch you. Oh, not me, preacher. Oh, yes, they will. Buddy, I don't. There's some of them I won't hard talk to because they get my mind all in a buzz. You see, they know how to take Scripture and manipulate it and change it and don't give you time to even think about what's right and what's wrong. And all of a sudden, you're agreeing with them. And you say, I don't believe that. Just stay away from it. The Bible says, I got a verse here. Romans 16:17. You ought to underline it in your Bible. Now I beseech you, brethren. Paul's talking to Christians. I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. That's biblical. Paul says, first of all, I'm talking to Christians. Now, what are you supposed to do, Christian? When you're around somebody that's contrary to the Word of God and contrary and always divisive, Paul says, put a mark on them. In your mind, just say, I don't need that. And then, when you mark them, just avoid them. No need to discuss it. No need to talk about it, because you're not going to change them, they're not going to change you. That's Romans 16:17. Mark them, avoid them. Because if you don't, you may be bewitched. You can be. I can be. I know preachers that's been bewitched. I'm thinking of one right now. Never so surprised. He doesn't believe anything. I mean, when it comes down to biblical faith, he is off the wall. Now, he used to be a member here. Somebody bewitched him. I know others down through my ministry that literally have gone off the deep end on things because somebody gave them something, out of the ordinary. We don't need that. We need to stay right with this book here. Stay right with God. Stay faithful to God. Study. Believe. Do those things. And then just saturate your heart and your mind with right things. And when doctrine that's contrary comes up, just avoid it. Nowhere in the Scripture are you commanded to debate the Word of God. Now, I like it. That's that old human nature I got, I guess. I like it. I like a good skirmish. If you ever want, but you don't affect anything. See, my grandmother used to say, and you've heard it too, he who is convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. You're not going to change him. You can talk to all the infidels you want to. More than likely, you're not going to change them. But if you're not careful, they'll question mark you. So just avoid it. Be careful. Because we can be bewitched. Let's stand together this morning.